Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, even though we're in that time when politicians are on their holidays, we're also in the run-up to the most dangerous of events. Yes, the pre-election budget. One man who wants the government to err on the side of caution is with me now, Cormac Lucy, economic commentator, author and columnist. You're so welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, Cormac, good to talk to you as always, but we're in a booming economy with pretty good budget surpluses, let's say. What's wrong if Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue let the handbrake off a bit before the election? What are the dangers there?
There are two problems. The first problem is that a lot of the tax revenues that mean that we're in a surplus are fragile in their nature and can't be counted on in the long run. And that's because they're based on multinational accounting that may vary depending on the interests of the multinational, and which are coming under political attack on the far side of the Atlantic, not just from Donald Trump and the Republicans, but also from some Democrats. That's the first reason. And the second reason is that the economy at the minute is flying. We're very low unemployment. We're at the sweet spot of the economic cycle. So this is the stage of the economic cycle when we should be running surpluses so that we build up some savings to give us the scope for the government to run deficits if we hit a recession and if the government needs to pump some money into the economy to get the economy started up again.
Where do we stand, I suppose, now in relation to the Irish economy vis-a-vis the world economy? We're doing much better than most, aren't we?
We are doing, and have been doing since the early 1990s, extraordinarily better than most. So if you go back to, say, 1995, our tax receipts now, compared to 1995, are at about 600% of where they were in 1995, whereas the rest of the developed world, they're at 250%.
Yeah.
Our population is up 40% in the last 25 years. Our government spending is up by a corresponding amount. So we have had the sweetest era of, economically speaking, that we could possibly have had. And the danger is all good things come to an end. Now, I'm not predicting that they're coming to an end, but there is a danger that they come to an end, and a prudent management would anticipate that and focus on developing the indigenous economy rather than making ourselves ever more dependent on the multinationals that are essentially outside our control.
Okay. We saw Alan Ahern, who's now the economic advisor to the Taoiseach, to Stephen Kinsella, again, another key advisor, ESRI, Central Bank, all agreeing with each other that the government should be prudent and not go mad on spending. But I think, as you said in a recent article, Cormac, Professors Ahern and Kinsella are hired help, and Chambers and Donoghue have an election to win. So they would be saying different things, wouldn't they?
They would. I mean, if you're Jack Chambers, the finance minister, or Pascal Donoghue, the minister for public expenditure, you're really preoccupied right now with the looming general election. And you're not just viewing that from a party perspective, in that you want your party to win as many seats as possible. You're also viewing that from a personal perspective. So if the two ministers put through a very tight budget that was stingy and ungenerous, and if their parties lost seats at the next election, they would be blamed within their parties, and they might consign the remainder of their political careers to the backbenches. So this is the problem, that you've got politicians who have a very short time horizon, and that's not because they're bad people. They've got a short-term time horizon. But if we look at the long-term time horizon, which is what bodies like the Fiscal Advisory Council and the Central Bank are paid to do, that there are storm clouds gathering on the horizon. And it's time for us to put some stuff away to prepare for any incoming storm rather than spend as if we're having a big party, which is the politician's instinct.
Yeah, and we you cited evidence before of, you know, ministers handing out tax cuts and goodies, let's call them financial goodies, but not actually being rewarded for that when the election comes around. So, you know, it's while the incline is to go and to give to get re-elected, the result isn't always quite so clear-cut.
Yeah, well, it's the situation we're in now is not unlike the situation we faced 2005, 2006 and 2007, when there were people in the economic financial community saying that we were in a property bubble, that the state was benefiting from abnormally large tax revenues, and that spending commitments entered into on the basis of those abnormally large tax revenues were necessarily fragile. And we're in a similar situation today, only the source of the fragility is the monster tax revenues we're getting from the multinationals. And I find, like, I wrote an article for McGill magazine, which was on the go back then in 2005, setting out that warning. I've been writing recently in the Sunday Times about our dependence on multinationals for our tax revenues. I reckon that over 60% of the government's total tax take, it derives from the multinational sector. And what I found interesting was, just as my 2005 article provoked very little reaction, this article on our dependence on the multinational tax revenues also provoked very little reaction. And I think it's because it's too horrible a reality to face up to. And people don't know how to react to such a figure being put out into the world. And they just keep their head down and hope, say to themselves, I hope that guy's wrong. But we are extraordinarily dependent on multinationals.
But we say that every year, and the tax receipts keep going up, you know. So, and I know what you're saying, but there's also the counter argument that it's today we have this revenue. As you say, tomorrow we mightn't, but we have it today.
Yeah, well, I think the sensible response would be to accept everything you say, but then to say, okay, we're going to set aside an increasing proportion of these tax revenues for long-term investment purposes. And secondly, we are going to really focus. We're going to spend as much effort developing inward multinational investment. We're going to spend as much effort as we do there on developing the indigenous small and medium-sized enterprise sector. And if you just listen to commentary at the minute, tourism, restaurants, pubs, they're having an awful time of it. But it's kind of as if they're poor relations that can be disregarded by government, as it just turns up at multinational announcements and basks in the reflected glory from them. But the indigenous business will always be in Ireland, and therefore it is in our longer term interests to focus on its development and productivity growth there, and give it as much attention as we give to the multinational sector at the minute, even though it's the multinational cow that's currently delivering the most milk.
Yeah, and point taken. Finally then, Cormac, can I ask you, I'll be turning 64 this weekend, so it means that I'll be heading into that cohort of being a fellow who wants to be looked after by the state. So are the government making enough provision for an ageing population? I think you would argue strongly that they're not.
Well, I'll be following you a week later.
Right. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. The government had... There was a Pension Commission report that reported 3 years ago, and they outlined the growing gap that we're going to see in the public finances as we have fewer workers paying into the system and more pensioners taking money out of the system. And the gap that they forecast for, I think, 2060, that's when you and I will both be reaching 100 years of age, the gap government spending patterns was 20 billion.
Yeah. That's
just for 1 year. And if you roughly say we've 5 million people living here, that's 4,000 euros for every man, woman, and child living in the country. So that's going to be an incremental, that's an incremental financial burden based on no change in our economic policies. So there's a huge demographic cost coming down the tracks over the coming decades. And that is a further argument for budgetary restraint in today's times.
All right, well, sage thoughts from Cormac Lucy, economic commentator, author, and columnist. As always, Cormac, thanks for your analysis, and enjoy your birthday next week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.